What's the name of the podcast, Ethan?
I don't fucking know.
Yeah, it's not comedy.
It's not going to be a podcast. It's going to be a fucking train wreck.
I wouldn't say that.
Welcome to How to Not Comedy. Comedy. How to Not Comedy.
What have you invited me for, guys?
It's a bit of a different show this week.
Yeah.
I'm going to do some wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah. Get all greased up, covered in butter.
Well, we actually did that for my, I think, 32nd or 33rd birthday. My coach actually said it was actually for someone else's birthday, but it was on my birthday. Fucking weird. Yep. We actually did, like, oil wrestling in the park.
That is super gay.
We actually, yeah. No,
Jiu-jitsu's already pretty gay. How do we make it gayer?
Well, you know, in actually most cultures, it was seen as the most manly thing that someone could possibly do.
Yeah, like the Greeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, they weren't gay.
Well, you know, the Greeks had some pretty weird ways of looking at things. I'll give you that. All right. Okay, all right.
It's manly.
Anyway, moving
swiftly. There's nothing more manly than fucking a dude in the ass.
Well, I'm not sure the wrestlers did that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, anyway.
I'm glad. Dave's like, just realized he's gay. Damn it.
Well, what was it? There was a famous jiu-jitsu champion that was in an argument with his wife, and he famously said to her, "I've spent a lot more time between the legs of men than women." So,
way to call her out for not doing a job.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'll learn her.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think they probably got divorced shortly after that, actually. Yeah. You know, a comment like that's not going to do well.
You've been making waves in the local scene, Dave.
Oh, you're shit.
You're a fucking menace.
I've pissed off a lot of people, probably.
Yeah. your style of comedy is, I love it, personally. I'm all for it. I've said to you both personally and publicly, don't change. Keep doing it. You'll get there. But you've fucking made some waves in some different areas. So we'll get straight into it. You went up north for three, 4 months?
No, close to six.
Yeah, six
close
months.
Close to 6 months.
So Dave's hitting me up before he goes, right? He's like, oh, like, do you know of any open mics? I was like, yeah, the like all Maddie's mates up there, there's like an open mic at different places. Check these different things out.
All the North Shore hippies.
Yeah. So Dave's done exactly that, and he's come back with this fucking wild story. So tell us what happened.
Oh God. Okay. So basically what happened was, you know, I arrive in Lismore and I'm like, you know, right, okay, let's get straight into this, open mic. And there's an open mic that was on in the, at the local hotel.
Yeah.
I was like, great. Let's, I checked it out, and the girl that ran it, she was like, we've got the first open mic of the year with the nice, diverse crowd that that Lismore loves. And, you know, in fairness with me and my style of comedy, that really should have set some fucking alarm bells off going straight away.
Yeah.
And
You're a white dude with a bald head.
Indeed. And, yeah. Thank you. Yes, that's pretty much me. That's a description of me. And basically, I was like, well, diverse. Yeah, that's awesome. So they've got, you know, guys and girls there. Fantastic. You know, it's a... Anyway. So I arrive at the venue and, you know, there's more rainbows here than after the great fucking flood. Like, I'm like, okay. Okay, all right, and then I'm seeing, like, you know, like blue-haired land whale after blue-haired land whale coming. it looks like a gender studies class has just knocked off, and then just and I'm like oh shit, and you know, I mean, and at this point no one was hostile. At this point, I should add, so enter like ominous sense of foreboding,
yeah.
And I'm just like, okay. And then I'm starting to think, well, hang on a second. I'm not sure they're going to like what I've got to say. And, you know, despite being told that it's a very understanding crowd and, you know, they know it's an open mic, I'm like, I really don't think these guys are gonna like what I've got to say. And I'm like, right, I don't have a plan B. So I'm no, you don't. There's no plan B.
No one. Like, starting out, you've been doing it a year, so.
And it's like, I can't let that. So I bought a TV today, and, I didn't have anything to go with. And, I'm like, okay, right. And it's like, right. And then this was, I just saw this 6'5" trans woman walk past me with a jawline.
Blonde hair?
Bigger, yeah.
I know the one you're talking about.
And actually very friendly and very nice, but I was just like, oh, wow, okay, this truly is a diverse crowd. So I'm like, it ticks a lot of boxes here. So anyway, so it starts. And the MC, she's very, very good. And she's this black chick, and she's...
Was that her?
How did you know that?
Yes.
It's the only giant blonde-haired trans person.
Yeah, I've just been shown a picture of this
of someone crushing someone absolutely winning
of a biological male playing against biological females. Anyway, there we go. Well, that's sport for us. That's women's sports. Diversity.
Anyway,
so I'm like, right. And the MC, she's very, very good. This black chick, she's very, very funny, everything like that. And the problem is that given that, I'm a bit of a social muppet, and two, every time I'd ever been up on stage in Newcastle, and every time I'd seen, the thing was you'd get on stage and then someone would roast the MC. They'd say something funny about the MC. Is what I'd seen everyone do at all the time. And I didn't realize this was a Newcastle thing. I thought it was something everyone did.
That's a bad thing to do. That's actually the worst move you can make in comedy, is to roast the MC.
Yeah, we do it because we're all friends.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Like, I just was like,
hang on.
Because like Mitch MCs, and I'm like, give it up for the little fat fuck. It's like the worst move you can make. Especially if you don't know them.
What did you say?
Hang on a second.
They're the ones in charge of like keeping the room together and running the show, and the audience trusts them, and you're just like, yeah, that's something for them.
Yeah. So anyway, I mean, it started off like a train wreck, actually. Normally you can see the train wreck coming. This was one that just came out of the fog and hit the frickin' school bus straight away. But anyway, so she was really good, and I liked what she was saying, but she was wearing a black pantsuit with a really, really loud purple jacket, and I was like, ah, she looks a bit like the Joker from the Batman movies.
Yeah.
And so I get up on stage, and the first thing I say is, like, I say, hey, lovely to be here, guys. Always great to be brought up on stage by someone who looks like the Joker from the Batman films. And I swear to God, I heard someone in the front row gasp. Not laugh, not silence. They gasp. And I turned and I looked and I saw the MC off to the side, and she's staring daggers at me. And I'm like,
is that all you said?
Yeah, that's literally all I said. All I said. But the thing was,
when a man in toe shoes roasts you for your outfit, you're gonna be pretty crook at that point.
She wasn't. That's literally what I said. That's literally all I said.
Yeah.
And anyway, and then I started into my routine. And in fairness, it wasn't the kind of bomb I've seen where literally there's silence the whole time. I got some laughs. There were some laughs, but it was like then at some points when I'm saying it, I'm getting people openly going boo and stuff like that, like actively booing me. And and anyway, I, in fairness, I didn't address it.
Yeah,
I just carried on. Like, now I'd address it and just, whatever. But like, I didn't. Yeah. I just carried on going, and it just got worse and worse. And then I can't remember. There was something. There was one part I said where just pretty much the whole room started booing at me, and I was just like, oh, these are, the natives are getting rather restless, aren't they?
The natives to the black woman on stage. Jesus,
Dave. No. But she's. She's black from Africa. She's not Aboriginal. She's like, I'm not saying it like that. Jesus Christ.
We know that, but Dave.
Glad to be brought up by this.
But anyway, so
she didn't have two giant scars on the side of her face as
no,
well.
No, she doesn't, and she wasn't wearing white face either. So it's not like she looked like the Joker. But anyway, it was. Anyway, I walked off stage. I was gonna give him back something because I was getting like, you know, severely pissed off by this. I'd given my delusionality. Yeah. I was like gonna give him back something. I was gonna say, you know, hope you guys all lose your homes now. You know, get woke, get broke, you know, or something like that. And just like, and I didn't say it.
Him.
I didn't. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'll show him. I didn't say it. So anyway, I walked off stage and back into the green room, and there was this lovely guy there. I can't remember his name now, but he was like, "You're right." I was like, yeah, I said, you know, I don't give a shit.
Was
you
he
know.
A big fella?
No, small guy. Right. And he was like, you okay? And I was like, yeah, you know, and he was, and anyway, and I was like, yeah. And I was like, man, what the fuck is going on with these guys? And went off on this huge rant that lasted about 2 or 3 minutes where I basically insulted everything and everyone that was in the club. And I didn't realize that every single person in the room could actually hear me in the comedy room. And every time there's a break, in the next comedian talking, you know, and there'd be a break.
Dave's just starting a rally in the green room.
and then they'll hear, and another thing. And it was, so anyway, I didn't realize, so anyway, I was like, oh, you know. Anyway, I mean, looking back, realistically, wrong audience, and I wasn't good enough to get my message across. So that's fair. But the worst is yet to come. So basically, I walk out like 20 minutes later, you know, and I was like, right, I'm done here. And I leave. And there's like, you know, 7 or 8 people by the door waiting, and as I walk out and they're like flanking me, they're all like boo again. Oh. And I'm getting booed out of the building, and I'm like wow, this is great. I'm burning bridges already, boys. Yeah. I'll I'm not sure I'll ever be invited back to one of these.
Hey, it's open mic, it's supposed to be inclusive to everyone.
Oh, it definitely was in theory, and anyway, so yes,
it definitely wasn't in practice.
No, but well, you know, it that was anyway. So the next day, I get a message from the person that actually ran it, and like, let's just say we had a very frank exchange of views about what happened. And I was just, you know, anyway, I look,
they asked you not to come back?
No, not well. I think the term was, don't ever fucking come to one of my open mics again.
So you've been banned from Lismore open mic.
I've been banned from Lismore in general, probably. The open mic's just a bonus, in fairness. But I mean, you know what? You've got to be aware of the different people you're talking to, and you know, I was probably.
Nah, fuck them.
95% in the wrong.
Somewhat, but they got what they advertised. They wanted diversity, and you don't get more diverse than
white slaphead guy.
Yeah, you're probably the only white supremacist looking dude on the lineup. Yeah. You were the white diversity that night.
Exactly.
They couldn't handle it.
You know, I left my bed sheet at home, unfortunately. But I probably.
But you did burn a cross on the way out the door.
and that was that. Unfortunately.
I can't believe they fucking called you up to like.
No, she didn't know. It was a message. It wasn't a call. It was online. It was online. Yeah. It was going. I mean, I can show you the messages if you want, but it was like.
Yeah, read out the messages.
Oh, Jesus.
This is hilarious. We should get the Lismore people on the pod.
We are.
Well, they'll.
It's already in the works. I'm gonna do it. Yeah. We're.
I can't find it.
Like, the crazy thing is, right, when you're starting out. You don't have a lot of material, and you're just throwing shit at the wall that you think works.
Yeah.
So the idea that you need to message someone and be like, you can't come back to my room.
No, and hang on a second. I've got to make a point here. Yeah. And this is a very important point.
In fairness, I did call her a dyke.
All right, okay. No, so in fairness...
I did a Nazi salute.
in fairness, it was like... And this is where I actually take a lot of responsibility. She
was trying to be nice,
no,
and then
no, no, no. She here we go. She rang me up and was just like, not rang me up. She messaged me and said, look, you know, it's a tough crowd. Like, I'll, you know, they're a very, very, Lismore is a very different crowd. Anything that attempts to pull a person or a group of people down won't get a good response. A lot of them get shocked when they perform here, but I really love that. They hold people accountable. I've been pulled up for stuff too.
Oh, you love that?
I love getting pulled up for stuff when I'm trying to do comedy, when I'm trying to make people laugh. Yeah, that's really good.
It's great really when people, scene. Like, shut down, like, the exact tools that we need to make people laugh. They just cut that down. They start taking away words you can use and phrases and stuff like that. It's really progressive.
Well, I mean, and I just basically said, what was it? I said something, you know, like, he said, I like edgy comedy, you know, and then she just said, when a white man gets on stage and tries to roast a black female MC, that's never going to fly.
Yeah, well, that's just bullshit.
Yeah. And
that's literally pointing out people's races.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with race. No, it had something to do with the fact the way she was dressed, and you would have said that whether she was black or not. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
And then it went to shit.
Yeah, I can imagine. You know,
well, the thing is...
I want to hear the last message. What was the last thing that she wrote to you?
So then,
No, we don't want context, Dave. No, it's funny.
All right. Fuck then. Because I said, I don't have time for that excess sensitivity with regards...
Yeah.
And then she said, you don't have time for excess sensitivity. Fuck, man. Don't do my shows then.
Okay. Yeah. No, fair enough. Look, there's not enough comedians getting around that you can just, like, fucking ban everyone because you don't like their set. And if we banned everyone that we didn't like their set, that'd be half the fucking scene gone.
Hmm.
It's open mic. That is the point. Like, you let the crowds make the decision for you. If someone rocks up every week and they're fucking bombing every week... Either they'll change their set or they won't, but you let the crowd make that decision. You don't fucking pull people up and be like, oh, like, you tried to roast a black woman. Like, putting race into it is just fucking dumb.
Like, well, that's
pretty gross, yeah.
It also implies
as a white guy, you can't roast the MC because she's black.
That's what she said. She then went on to saying punching up and punching down.
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway.
But the thing is that this situation would have resolved itself if you had kept turning up and kept getting booed every night. You probably would have just been like, well, fuck, I'm not going to keep going down there doing that because it's, you know.
Well, you write different jokes.
Yeah.
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 Exactly.
I write good jokes maybe, but yeah. But no, it's, I mean, the thing is, it's like there's a different scene there and everything, like, and then of course we get onto the debacle with the comedy commune guys.
Yeah.
Which, you know,
there was a whole thing with them as well.
Yeah, exactly. As you can say, I'm a black hole of charisma here, guys. Like, it's
what have you done for comedy commune, Dave?
So basically, well, this one wasn't anywhere near as bad, but basically what happened there was every show that they did that I saw, and maybe it was just I saw like all the open mics in Lismore, it was, we will be giving, anyone who wants to come down, applicants for the open mic. Priority will be given to all trans, bi, lesbian, gay, like anyone from the alphabet community. Yeah. Like,
well,
you've
got gay down. I wrestle.
I should have said that.
Yeah, exactly.
According to the guys in Newcastle, I'm the gayest guy they've met. But anyway, you know, I wrestle men every single day. Like, yeah, so I should have taken advantage of that. Yeah,
you should have.
I should have walked in with oil dripping off me. You know, like, that should have been fantastic. But and they said, yeah, but men in white shirts are welcome to apply too. And I remember this went on for a few things. Yeah. And then they were like, right, we're going to have a professional comedy show, and we're delighted to announce it is going to be an all-women comedy show.
Yeah.
And me not having the ability to just shut my frickin' mouth, just put up a thing saying, amazing, fantastic, guys, great work. When are we having an all-male show? And as you can imagine, that just kicked that really, really set off an ant's nest, you know. And then I basically, you know, it went off and off and off and and off and off, and I didn't get the chance to say, look, just because I'm pro-man doesn't mean I'm anti-woman.
Yeah.
And that's true.
You just really, really like men.
Yeah, I really like men. You know, they're
better at everything.
I know you guys keep bringing it back to this, but I obviously really like men because I wrestle them every single day. So it's, anyway, and then basically I get banned from the group.
Yeah.
So I was like, the thread got, I mean, in fairness, it went on for quite a bit because people were basically calling me a misogynist and stuff. Yeah. And I was like,
it's actually a very funny thing to do, just to like, not do seriously, but like, just take the piss and be like, when are we having an all women's night?
Yeah.
Or when are we having an all men's night? Just to fucking stir shit.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's funny.
Yeah, but the fact that I did it out of genuine, you know, like, that wasn't trolling. That was me.
You were just trying to trick. Which makes it even funnier.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, the whole thing, as far as the comedy scene for me, there was an absolute frickin' train wreck.
Yeah. I don't care. I'll run whatever fucking show you want. I really don't care. If you want to run all men, if you want to do, there's ones in Sydney that do all Asian comedians. There's ones that just happen to be all white because it's like that's who is available to be booked. And that's when people get upset. They're like, oh, it's all white dudes on the lineup. No, no, no. It's like, yeah, they were the ones available. Everyone else was fucking doing the all-women show or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, well, fuck, if you keep doing that and that continues, you're just going to segregate everyone into their own fucking individual groups and crowds, and then where's the diversity in that?
Exactly.
You've just fucking destroyed what you're working towards. Congratulations. You've absolutely ruined what you're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
It's so dumb. Yeah. But yeah. No, I don't really care. Like, if you want to run those shows, fucking run them.
There's a market for it as well. Like, there is some people who just want to go and see an all-women's comedy show.
Yeah, and showcases like we have here, way better if it's a diverse lineup. If there's females, if there's, you know, people from different nationalities and shit that have got different takes on things, because it's more interesting. It's like, fuck, if someone gets up there and, like, Bobby gets up on the open mic, he's, like, talking about fucking India and being Indian and all that shit. It's like, well, that's better because it's, like, different to the fucking other five white guys that were talking about fucking and wanking for the last hour.
Yeah, every white dude has the same set. It's just slightly different.
Yeah. Like, you need some fucking diversity or the crowd's going to get real worn out of that shit. That's the way I look at it. It's like, it's a better show.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And there's, like, I just think, the whole, like, oh, yeah, you can't get up and fucking say something about a woman of colour or whatever. It's like, you are the racist one. Like, you're the one being racist there because it had nothing to do with her race.
No,
she's
just like, you can't call
her out because she's black.
It'd be like saying you can't make fun of a disabled person in the front row. It's like, yeah, I fucking can because I'm funny.
Yeah.
And if I'm funny enough, it'll go well. And if I'm not funny enough, well, then I can't. That's how it goes.
Yeah, that is how it goes, yeah. Exactly. If you'd have gotten her with a fucking great roast and everyone laughed, it would have been fine. It's just...
So I see what you're saying. The joke was shit. Right, yeah. Actually, yeah.
Yeah.
Well. In fairness, it wasn't great. But...
But even if the joke was good, it sounds like in that room it wouldn't have flown anyway. Because that's
the type of environment
that they're trying to fucking do. Like, imagine Legacy getting up there and just fucking roasting everyone. They'd just be like, no, we hate this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wasn't Mr. Popularity that day.
Yeah.
And in fairness, it was really funny because another comedian here, he actually, I mentioned it to him, and he said, oh, you're that guy. And I was like, and he said, oh, shit. He said, yeah, I heard about that bomb. And I'm like, you got to bear in mind, this is 6 months after it happened. And he still remembered it.
There's not a lot going on in Lismore.
And I was like, no, I'll tell you what, that story sure as shit had legs. 6 months later, that one returned to haunt me. I'm like, oh, great. You could tell that one went round.
So when are you signing up for Raw, Dave?
I've done Raw. I did Raw when I was up there.
Oh, shit.
I did Raw on the Northern Rivers. And,
how did that go?
In the nicest way possible, the standard there, in my opinion, was a lot lower than what I would imagine it would be here. Like, there were some people that were literally first-timers.
Oh, you get that at every Raw. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Well, okay. Well, I don't know Raw, but anyway, and I went up there, and basically the MC did a wonderful and inspired thing about how society doesn't need men anymore and has moved past men, and is you know, and is like, you know, now a you know, basically we just need women running everything. And,
was it Hannah Gatsby?
Yeah, fuck yeah, I love Miss Andrew. That's cool.
I don't know whether it was Hannah Gatsby, but yeah. It was a middle-aged woman, and that was doing it, and I was just like. I was like listening to it, and I was like, "Wow, I'd be actively booing you if you weren't one of the judges for deciding whether whether I get to go through or not." And you know,
was she funny then?
Yeah, she. Some of it that bit was more of a preachy bit, putting her across her personal politics. But she said some. She did a good job. You know, I'm not saying she wasn't funny. I'm just saying there's that bit where I was like,
"This is kind of funny to be like, we don't need men anymore." I can see how that could be a good premise.
No, it's that bit was a bit preachy, but the other stuff she did was funny.
Yeah,
like, I liked. She did a great job, but it was there was a guy called I think Jervy Jester or whatever his name.
Oh,
was.
Oh, Doobie.
Yeah. No, he was good. He did a good.
He's great.
He did a good set.
Yeah, he did a set here. I think awesome. It was like a showcase, or maybe he just did the open mic. But yeah, really good. But I went up and did all my jokes, and he's like, "Fuck, you did like every premise that I was about to do." I'm like, "I don't just fucking do your jokes, man. It's open mic." Like jokes about Jewish and fucking.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he did have that, didn't he? Yeah, he grew up in Nimbin, or was it Nimbin? Yeah, near there or something like that. Yeah, Nimbin.
Yeah, very nice dude.
No, he's. I really like him. He's cool. Yeah. Like
that's who I thought was. I was talking about earlier when I thought he might have been at that Lismore show open mic.
No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't at that. He did. He went. He was at some of the commune ones, but he didn't go to the one that where the you know the bomb from hell went down. But
So it wasn't the commune guys that actually like attacked you online or anything like that. It was just more people who follow their page or whatever.
Oh well, no. The admin was that was running that, they banned me.
Yeah.
But like, I imagine they've got 10 admins, you know, it was just like some person, it was obviously a chick, got their knickers in a twist. Oh,
I know who it is. Yeah. It's they've got a girl that does their, social media forum.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I mean, it was quite funny because the thing is, I just said like, when's the pro thing one? And then someone else just like put down something saying, you know, like, you don't know what you're talking about. They liked their comments. I was like, oh right, there's
I liked your comment. I think
you did, but then someone else liked the person's really like, you know, they weren't particularly polite when they came back at me, and the admin liked their comment, and I was like, oh right, we obviously have a very unbiased, you know, adjudicator here.
Kangaroo court for days.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, you were the one who turned up to court the day.
Yeah, like, exactly.
You weren't invited. You're just like, oh, fuck it. I'm gonna shout something out.
It didn't help where I was like, yeah guys, I said if anyone's confused, I said maybe I should turn up and declare myself as a woman or something like that. And then I was like, yeah, you guys should all watch this, and I had the Matt Walsh What is a Woman, you know, the link to that.
Yeah.
And it just really went off the rails from there. It was like,
it's like throwing petrol on the fire. It's
like, dig up, Dave, dig up. didn't work out, but
no.
Oh well, because
I remember seeing it, because you're on a tear. I think you were, it was like a few days in a row where I saw you commenting on stuff, and I was just like, all right, here we go.
Dave's having a good time.
I was like, I think when you came back, you and I were chatting, and I was like, that's not a hill you need to die on, dude. It's like, in my opinion, it's a phase. It's like, I think eventually it's going to be, like, it's not going to go as far as it has, and then we'll settle somewhere in the middle, and it'll be okay. Like, but,
I don't know. As you said, it's not a hill I needed to die on, and you just said to me something along the lines of, sometimes, Dave, you've got to learn to keep your mouth shut. You just see it, like, roll your eyes, and you move on.
Yeah. Or you start your own rooms, which is
very
exactly
good.
What we've done.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So this will be out hopefully by then. 8th of August, we've got, or is it the 6th?
It's the 7th.
It's the 7th. Really?
That's true. It's on the poster.
The 6th.
7 p.m. Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry. Sunday, 6th of August, we're actually starting a new room here at the Newcastle Comedy Club. Hopefully, if we can get enough ticket sales for the first show, called No Holds Barred. I've been talking about this one for months. But basically, Dave, when you're a funny comedian, we'll even let you perform at this show.
Yeah. You'd be perfect for this one.
You would be perfect
for this one. Say whatever you want.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, judging by the response in Lismore, that might take a little bit of time and effort.
You'll be a headliner. He's back. Yeah.
Whiter than ever.
Yeah. That's the name of his first special.
You want publicity? Remember this clown? Well, he's back and he's got more of his racist, misogynistic material, you know. You think of a group of victims, he will go after them.
You definitely know how to make an impression, Dave. Yeah. The unforgettable Dave Brooks.
Oh, man. But that being said, man, you've been doing comedy less than a year now. Yeah. And you've already started your own room.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, so we've got to thank you about that, dude. We did the Cheeky Dog.
Last Wednesday. Fuck yeah.
Yep. Look, the setup wasn't ideal, being completely transparent, but it was a great first show. Hmm. Sort of, once we got rolling.
I think once the second half kicked off was the change. The first half, there was because it was big, like, picture like RSL style, huge open room.
Yeah.
The whole venue was with just everything lit up. Just not ideal conditions for comedy. The sound was coming through the PA in like the roof, which isn't great. It's hard to hear, hard to follow along with. And half the crowd didn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
They were just there for their dinner, which was, you know, that's fair. They didn't know that the show was on. But then there was a lot of people that up towards the front that were listening. And then second half kicked off. All the people that had done, finished with their dinner, they all headed out. And the people that were left were down for it. They were keen to see some comedy.
We moved a few people up closer and it was started to work.
Yeah. And that just goes to show, like, in a lot of cases, the only difference between a bad show and a good show is, like, where people are seated and, like, where you hold the show as well. Like, if you're holding the show, it should be somewhere where people clearly know there's a comedy show on tonight.
Yeah, you've got to be concentrating for comedy, haven't you? Otherwise, it's like, ooh, this chicken schnitzel's marvellous, you know, and then, like, you know, and then the joke's gone.
Yeah. The crowd there were good, but they did not like the gross jokes. Like, anything, like, sort of...
Yeah, older, sort of well-to-do crowd out there.
Yeah.
At least in the first half as well.
Anything for sure. Crass? Anything... Fucking cunt.
You should go and tell him, dude. Like, go.
Dude, I'm writing a joke about it. Like, cunts with their fucking loud engines. Just people who play music on trains with money. Like, they're the same person.
Mm.
Yeah,
That's one of the worst things that you can, that you can do. Someone will come in with, like, playing loud music in a public area when there's lots of other people there, especially when it's really niche music as well. Like, that's the more niche, the better. You know, it's you're like
they're doing it to pick a fight. That's what they're doing. Mm. Yeah, they're hoping someone says something and then they can threaten them and feel tough.
Some of them, I think, are just pretty confident no one will say anything. I'm convinced of it. Some of them are. Because I knew there were these two young kids that used to train with us. This was back in Bondi, and they were just young, stupid kids. And, you know, it's eastern suburbs. You know, eastern suburbs, tough kids. That's about as oxymoronic statement as it's possible to get, you know.
Yeah.
So, anyway, these kids went out west and started acting like that, like, out west in Sydney, in a bit of a tasty neighbourhood. And, like, we didn't know what had happened. They just stopped turning up to training. And then the mother basically called us a few days later, saying something along the lines of, yes, you know, Harry and Paul got the crap kicked out of them in, say, you know, enter, you know, really rough suburb where they were just going out throwing their weight around, and the locals were like, what the, you know, and these guys got starched, you know, and you're like,
you should have changed harder, you're not allowed to play music
on trains until you're at least a blue belt.
I don't think a blue belt would have helped too much in that situation.
It was like, jump by ten guys,
you know.
Unfortunately, jiu-jitsu doesn't help in street fights if you fall on the ground and someone can start kicking you.
You're not going to pull guard. No. Let's put it that way. Yeah, it's, you know.
Yeah. So, Dave, you were telling me as well, you've got a professional fight record as well.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So you did, you trained jiu-jitsu for...
Okay, so basically what happened was, when I first started out, this was like 20 years ago, and there was, where I started out, there was no jiu-jitsu anywhere.
Yeah.
And the school that I started out with, that's still going, it's called the Martial Arts School, RW, we were just, me and my friend Phil Ells, we were just basically learning jiu-jitsu as we went. We were looking up, you know, the Ken Shamrock, you know, like autobiography, where it basically, it's the most biased book I've ever read in my life, but basically it's just showing him doing techniques that he's doing, and we're like, all right, he's doing that. All right, we didn't have a clue.
Yeah.
And then so I did that for a few years, like training just with friends that also didn't know anything, literally blind leading the blind. And then I had the opportunity to do an MMA fight. And it's like, I look back now and I'm like, wow, I was really, really, I had no idea what I was doing. And I was utterly confident when I went in there. And I basically fought another guy that also didn't know what he was doing and won. And then I'm like, yay, I won. Yeah. And it was really funny. But I think I've told this one before. But basically, that's the fight where I got into the cage, like stood on the threshold, stood up as tall as I could, looked, glared at my opponent, and then cracked my head on the top of the steel door frame on the cage. And had a massive egg on my head. And the whole crowd's like, ooh, like this. And I'm just like, Jesus Christ. And the thing is, my mate then comes into the cage and says, right, you've had your first hit. He won't hit you harder than that. Now go get him. And I did. And I subbed him. Oh, God, that was embarrassing. And it was funny because I got back to uni and I walked into the dorm with like where my friends were, trophy in hand. I was like, right. Boomf. You know, I've of course, it. I had a full head of hair then, and you couldn't tell that this big egg on my head. And they didn't believe. I found out later, they did not believe that I had a fight.
They thought you went out and bought a trophy.
Yeah, they did. They did. I shit you not. They thought I had gone out, because I didn't have a mark on me. He was coming out trying to take my head off, and I just double-legged him, got him down, and like, you know, I had a bit of a scuff on the side of my face. And they thought I'd gone out of town, bought a trophy, and it was like a year later when I found out, they looked up online and were like, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
He actually did do the fight.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was, yeah. So anyway, I fought a few times in the UK. And then I fought a few times in Australia when I came over here. And that's when I was training with my now coach and started to get, like comparatively, really good.
Yeah.
And that's where I, you know, and, you know, it's fighting in some ways is really similar to comedy, in the fact that you go out there and you've got to perform. Doesn't matter how much prep you've done. You've got to perform on the day. And that's in the moment. That's all that matters. You can have the best material in the world, but if you don't perform and you don't give it everything, and it's like when people walk out for it, that the walkout is very similar in that respect, in that you've got to be dialed in. So it's interesting.
You'd be shitting yourself. So I'm like, fuck.
well, the first fight, I was terrified. I had to get, as I was just saying, I said to you the other day, Mitch, for my first fight, I had to get really angry.
Yeah.
Like really, really, really angry to like hide the fact that I was like bricking it.
Too bad you didn't have that Lismore bomb under your belt.
Well, exactly. And what Mitch said, he said, don't be like that with your material, mate. Like, you know, you got to be sunshine and kittens with your shit to get away with it. You start growling at people. Yeah, it's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to do rape jokes while angry.
Yeah, so.
So what made you get into comedy then?
Well, it's.
Too much Joe Rogan?
The thing was that when I'm teaching, I like to try and make the students laugh.
Right.
Because the idea of that, it just kind of over a number of years crept up on me. And the idea is that I figure if they think, oh, what's he going to say that's messed up? What's he going to say that he shouldn't say?
Yeah.
They're going to pay more attention.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, so I was like, I want to get impart as much to the students as possible. And so try and make it funny. As
you don't do rape jokes during jiu-jitsu, though, do you?
I do not. just for the record, if anyone's listening out there that I've taught for, there have never been any inappropriate jokes ever of any kind on the mats. Ever.
Why don't you bring that to the stage, Dave? Yeah. Pretend you're coaching kids. That might be what you have to do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, the thing is, my favorite jokes when the kids' classes were actually jokes that would go over the kids' heads, but the adults watching would actually get it. That was those were my favorite jokes. And the kids are like, what? Yeah. And then you'd hear the adults laughing. Anyway, and that's how I... And then basically I was talking to my friend, Andrew George, who sadly has since passed, and he said to me, he said, you should do comedy. He said, you should do comedy. He said, you're funny. And so anyway, I was like, right, I'll write out a set. So I wrote out a set. I wrote out what I considered a 5-minute set. And I looked at it and I was like, God, that is gold. And I read it out to him. And I don't think his mouth even twitched.
Yeah.
And he just said, needs a rewrite. and then I came into the club, I remember, and I had two things that I now look at now, and I was like, well, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
And you know, and you give it a go. And that's why my first one wasn't like utter silence. There were one or two things that made people chuckle a little bit.
Yeah. So. Was I hosting for that night?
Yeah, you were.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you were. You were you were hosting. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I remember there was a few people who started around the same time as you did. There was actually quite a few, especially when we were running the joke writing workshop. So we got a few people in early on. But you're really the only person who's actually stuck with it from that that period.
Yeah, what happened to Mitch Fryer?
Yeah, I don't know, man.
I haven't seen him in a bit.
Yeah, he was actually starting to get good too.
He was.
Like,
he's getting very good.
Yeah, he was one of those dudes who's just... He had a real bad set here one night, and I think he was bombing, and the sets here, like, the crowd just wasn't liking it, so he just turned on the crowd.
Oh, shit.
And started attacking the crowd, which didn't help.
Bit of a meltdown.
Yeah.
We've all been there.
We've all been there. Like, it happens. Happens to the best of us. Anyway, he's like... He's sitting down and he was really fucking down. Like, really, I could tell. And I went, hey, man, like, you don't, just a quick tip, like, just don't attack the crowd like that. I said, because it'll just make your job harder.
Yeah,
I don't care or anything. You haven't done anything wrong, but just a little friendly tip. The next week he comes back, but he wasn't doing a set. He's like, oh, I'm not doing a set. I said, oh, why not? He's like, oh, I'm just fucking still. You know, a bit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you go. Oh, that's last week. I mean, what happened last week? He's like, oh, I bombed and I attacked the crowd. I'm like, dude, that's the point. He's like, what? I'm like, you're supposed to make those mistakes, dude. I said, don't like get down on yourself. I said, you're fucking funny. Like, keep coming back. And he's like, oh, I'm like, nah, dude, sign up now. I was like, sign up now. We'll get you on the lineup. Like, you have to come back. I said, just take it as a learning lesson. That's all. It's the only reason I mentioned it. And he's like, oh. All right, then. So we got up, and he had a great set.
Oh, really?
Like, see?
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I was like, see, dude, like, you don't have to fucking worry. It's all good. Like, no one remembers. No one cares. It's open mic. He's like, oh, sweet. So
he came back. That's awesome, man.
He was coming back for a good couple of months, but I think he's got some mental health issues and stuff like that.
Who doesn't?
That's like part and partial with fucking...
That's comedy. That's comedy for you.
Yeah, everyone's got something. Like, if you're a stand-up comedian, you're like, yeah, you've got something.
I remember the first time I came and signed up, and I spoke to you, Mitch. You almost certainly don't remember this.
Yeah.
But basically what happened was I turned up, and my mate, who was supposed I said, I need you to come, because I said, it's the first time I'm doing this, and I was bricking it. And I'd practiced my set 20, 30 times in the mirror, and I turned up, and I realized I could not remember a word of my set. I could not remember it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, right, okay, I'm going to go get a pen and paper, because I'd signed up by this point. And, mm-hmm. you know, so it's inching closer to when it's going to be me on stage. I'm going to get a pen and paper. And I'm like calling my mate. And it's like, you know, I'm going, where the fuck are you? You know, like, I need you here. And then I realized that I couldn't remember anything. I was like, so writing down points that I get, and I still couldn't remember it. And I knew I was going to get on stage
and just blank
and just be like, and that was going to be it. And I went up to you and I just said, I didn't know who you were, but I just said, you know, take me off the list. Mm. And I remember you said to me, you said, are you sure? And I was like, yes, take me off. And you said, just go up on stage and tell one joke. I remember you said that. And I was like, no, I'm going to come back next week. And you were like, okay. And I did. I came back a week later.
Yep.
And bombed. No. but I came back a week later and I did it. And it's funny because you look at the video and it's like my voice is steady, but if you look closely, you can see my legs shaking. Yeah. It's like, that's how terrified I was. But yeah, you know, and it's but I always, if someone says, I don't know how you can do that, and I'm like, I've been there. Trust me.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
it's not fucking easy.
I'll like even catch myself sometimes. I like look down at the microphone and I realize I'm up there and my hand's shaking.
Really? Like, even now?
Fuck.
You've been
even
doing
now,
this like
man.
5 years, six
yeah,
years, haven't you?
5 years. Yeah.
Crikey.
It's like it's one of those things. It's like adrenaline.
Yeah.
If you've got a set rolling or whatever, and then something goes wrong, it can definitely fucking shake you. Like, yeah.
That was last night here, hey? Fuck. Yeah, Friday night showcase. Fuck, the crowd was just not having the sexual jokes.
Yeah.
And I was doing 7 minutes on that.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, boy, this is not going well. Yeah. And I had some, like, new sort of shit that I wanted to try and, like, work in there. Like, old joke, but, like, new sort of different lines and shit. And yeah. I was like, oh, we're bailing on that. Yeah. Let's just try and survive the next 7 minutes.
Yeah.
It's like someone had me in a fucking rear naked joke. And I was just, hold on. Hold on for grim death. We got through it, but yeah, it was just fucking brutal.
The crowds here are generally really, like, when I've been to the showcases, they're normally absolutely fantastic. Do you get it where, like, does it happen sometimes on those where it does not go well?
Yeah.
Does it happen?
Look, I watched the video back. Like, I got off stage and I was like, whoa, that was a fucking horrendous bomb. But I went back and looked at it and I'm like, you know, in retrospect, like, if I had looked at this, like, 3 years ago, I'd been like, I'm so fucking happy with that. But now that I've moved on a bit, I'm like, it wasn't fucking good enough, so I'm just putting myself down. So right. It was fine. I was getting laughs, but I wasn't getting the laughs that I wanted to get.
Sure.
I feel like I didn't do enough, and I didn't read the room properly, and I didn't... Like, I'm at the stage now where I've got enough material that I can change gears and go into, like, a different topic or something like that, but I just didn't. Because right. I was shitting myself because I was like, they're not fucking liking this. What do I do? Mm. And then I was like, think of a joke. Oh, it's just another sexual joke. Fuck. Yeah. I'm like, they're not liking it. Just do some bogan stuff. Like,
yeah.
And then the guy who headlined last night, Steve Whiteley, he gets up at the end and just fucking levels the place with like 15 minutes of bogan jokes.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
Why didn't I do the bogan jokes? That would have fucking been way better than what I did.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just learning, like, this isn't working. I need to button change direction.
It's
hard to do when you're up there and you're getting the sweats because you're like, whoa, this isn't going as well as it should.
you know you get bombs, you know, like, and you get like levels. It's like they always say about everything, there's levels to this. And I've had sets where I've been getting laughs, but it's almost like resentful laughs. That's the best way I can put it, where the audience is laughing at it, but they don't like you, but they're kind of like, all right, that was funny, but we still can't stand you, you know. But that was quite funny. And I've had sets like that, and I would class that as kind of bombing a little bit, because you haven't got your message over that, you know, it's okay, we're joking, it's all sunshine and kittens, this is a dark topic, but we're approaching it in a lighthearted manner. I'm not getting that across. But then I've seen bombs where it's like the audience is like, oh my god, just get off stage. And I don't even think my one in Lismore was quite that bad. the one where I'm talking about, like, you know, like they're not, you know, they're not being enough diversity in the men's 100 meter sprint, you know, complaining there's not enough white people in it, you know, that they actually quite liked that. So it was like, I was really like, really, you guys like that? I was like, okay, well, that's probably the, I thought that was going to be the bit that was going to get me run out of town with pitchforks, but you know, it was. But the point is that what I was saying was, have you had bombs where it's been like that bad, like where there's been, you know, it's like it's dead. The audience is like, kill him.
I had one where I got an applause break. I was killing, got an applause break, and then I bombed.
Really?
Yeah. was it Wyong, Gosford?
Oh, the golf club.
Yeah, the golf club. We've gone down for this gig. Another Dave in the comedy scene. He's not really around much anymore, but he's got this. He had this gig at the golf club, and the same thing, like big stage, bright, a tall room, big auditorium. So I got on there and I started, like, I was doing really well. Got an applause break, and I was like, all right, sweet, I've got these people. And then, like, moved into the second half because they were laughing at all the stuff about me.
Right.
I was making fun of myself.
Right.
And the second I started, like, I moved away from the topic and started making fun of other things, they really fucking didn't like it.
Topic in particular was old people having strokes.
Old people having strokes.
Who you performed to a bunch of old people. In a fucking golf club.
Yeah.
I wonder what went wrong.
Yeah, yeah. That was a perfect example of not reading the room right there. Yeah. Yeah. It was like right when I started getting booked here. So I was like fucking really just sort of overconfident, like way more confident than I should have been about my material. Mm-hmm. And it was, yeah, it did not.
Oh, that's
it
brilliant.
Did not go down
well. We lost six people last week to that.
And I've had pro shows shut down. Like Legacy got me a fucking gig in North Sydney once. And he's like, don't you fucking bomb, lad. I went there, I bombed so hard they never had comedy back. Yeah, one lady sighed in the middle of my set, just like
and I bet the room went. Did the room go off about that?
I just looked at her. I was like, what the fuck is wrong with you, you rude cunt? Like, that's all I was thinking. I was like, I'm not going to attack her because that wouldn't have made things better.
Mm-hmm.
But I should have.
Well, the room was getting shut down anyway.
Yeah, if I'd have known that was going to be the last opportunity.
Tell her how you really feel.
Yeah, I thought you fucking, yeah, man, fucking entitled old cunt.
Bobby got a room shut down.
Yes.
Yeah.
What did Bobby do?
We had this, like, classic example of why woke and comedy don't really mix very well.
Yeah.
When you're preaching diversity and anyone can turn up.
Yeah.
So, you know, Bobby's Indian guy. Of course they're going to welcome him in with open arms. They're like, brown guy, fucking token brown guy on the lineup. Fuck yeah, let's get him in.
Yeah.
Bobby's smoking weed out the front.
In the doorway.
It's just wafting into the building. This is like a cafe, right? So it's like, it's called Wondermates Cafe. It's shut down now, so who gives a fuck? It didn't last
He didn't just shut down the room, he shut down the cafe. Good work, Bobby. The business plan went out the window and everything.
Yeah. So it was like this cafe that had like superhero themed cafe. It was gay as hell. But anyway, the owners were gay.
Was it literally or figuratively gay as hell? Was it like shocking or like a bit of both?
Yeah.
A bit of both. Right.
Yeah. So it was like this LGBTQ safe space cafe. Someone's trying to fucking make a business and good on them. Like fucking, if you want to start your own business and shit, I'm 100% behind you. We'll come and do comedy and try and support it, make you some money. But, yeah, so Bobby's smoking weed outside. It's blowing in the building, and they come out and they're like, "Oh, we can't have you smoking weed here!" Like, "Oh my god!" And he's like, "It's Indian incense. What are you talking about? You're being racist. You're being racist to me and my people." And they're just like, their brains—you could just see it, just like the cogs locking up. Just like, we don't know how to handle this.
Yeah.
So then Eddie had to come out and be like, "Bobby, if you're gonna smoke weed, just go across the street, dude." And he's like, "Yeah, all right." Then,
but that was me. Before that, he goes, "Hey, Eddie, do you want some?" Yeah. And he's like, "No, I'm at room. Work.
Yeah. So it was a storytelling night, which is kind of like what we used to do at the press, the book shop in there. kind of like this little cafe style where like comedy doesn't really work in there if you go in there to do comedy because it's like maybe 10 people and they're all just there to just like sip a coffee and watch someone have a wank on stage about whatever it is they want to talk about. So we're all in there just doing like funny storytelling, like comedic storytelling, and it's all going all right. Like, we're comics, so it's a little bit fucked up. But the owners are kind of like, yeah, we're letting it slide. Then I think, was Bobby at the end?
Yeah, he's close to the end.
Close to the end. And Bobby gets up, and he just decides to tell this story about when he worked in security. And this, he just had this altercation with this woman, and I can't remember, it was a while ago now, but the story basically went like he was going to bash this woman because she was being a fucking bitch to him, and he smashed her phone, and then the cops rocked up, and he was like kind of jump out of a bush and like bash her boyfriend and her. Like, he wasn't actually, like, he's being fucking insanely obtuse for the story.
Yeah.
Trying to like play it up and make it funny.
Right.
And failing. But just bombing.
Just failing hilariously.
Yeah, yeah. We're all just sitting there just like, holy fuck. Yeah. I'm there pissing myself. Because I was just like, this is insane. I can't believe you're telling this story in this venue.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not loving this. And then after it, apparently one of the owners like had to go like leave the cafe.
Yeah, she having
a panic attack. Had to go sit out in the car because he's talking about potentially bashing this woman. It's like, he was never going to bash the woman. What are you talking about? Like, that's the... He's been over the top for the story. Like, it's been fucking ridiculous. Anyway.
How long ago was this?
A few years ago now.
Oh, he's been doing it that long, has he?
Two years ago.
You wouldn't believe it, but yeah. He's been doing a lot more jiu-jitsu than comedy, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Well, it shows.
Yeah.
He's really good at jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
He's got a very good leg game. Yeah. Fantastic leg game. Yeah.
We're not allowed to talk jiu-jitsu on the podcast. Ethan already warned me.
Well, we just didn't want to go down a rabbit hole if we had... Yeah. It's comedy podcast, Mitchell. We're talking comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that cafe shut down.
Yeah.
And then, if you were going to do the press, like, book fucking thing, you would just need, like, a super safe story that's just, like, a little bit funny, but, like, nothing crazy.
Not too funny, because we don't want anyone to, like, hurt themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Enjoying yourself or having fun.
Like, no, you can't get wild down there. But it's one of those rooms where, like, if you go in there with, like, any sort of big energy and shit like that, they're like, oh, fucking, who's this cunt? Like, it's a very weird space to perform in.
Yeah.
Which you've got to be able to read. Like, that's a massive thing in comedy. It's, like, different rooms. You've got to be able to read what they're going to be down for if you want to do well. If you don't give a fuck and you're like, this is my gear. Fucking suck on this.
Yeah.
I remember reading... I remember seeing a video with Sam Morrell. You know, you've probably heard of him. But anyway, he's a comic from America. And he was talking about when he was in one area, he went to... I forget where it was, where he went to. But anyway... And he said he bombed for 3 straight nights there. And he said, I hate that place. He said, I'll never be going back. And he's like, he's telling this story, and he's just bombing like crazy. And I was like, it actually made me think, oh, wow, even some of the very best in the world. And he is right up there.
Yeah.
You know, three nights in a row, two shows a night. And you're like, shit.
But he was paid.
Oh, no, he was paid to...
Exactly, yeah, no, he was paid to be there.
And paid very handsomely, yeah, exactly. I might add. You
who
know?
Fucking cares? If you've got the money in your pocket, who cares? That was me hosting the other week at the Stag. I didn't feel like I was doing very well at all. And I was like, this is great. I'm getting paid $200 to bomb. This is fucking sick.
You weren't bombing. No, you weren't.
The start was rough. Because there was fucking no cunt in the room.
Yeah.
It's tough to make a morgue laugh.
No, it was that dude in the front who was a swinger. That guy had some fucking wild stories. Did you hear it?
Was this the guy whose wife had left him for another chick?
Yeah.
And he told it in this most beta male way I've ever heard it in my life. I was like, are you fucking serious?
Yeah, he's like, so I'm a gamer, bro. He actually said that, and he's like, I just signed divorce papers today. I was like, oh, congratulations. He's like, yeah, she left me for another woman. I was like, oh, fuck, dude, I'm sorry. He's like, no, it's all good, like, whatever. So
that's how happy a threesome will make you.
Yeah.
I don't care that I'm getting divorced.
Yeah.
I tick that box.
He walked in on his missus cheating on him, and she just straight up demanded. She's like, no, we're like, I'm gonna fuck and you've got to watch. That's it.
What? She was fucking like, the chick though.
Yeah,
wasn't
yeah. She was what? Fucking a chick.
Yeah. That's a.
But
very
then the dude he was there with that night had also fucked her, so he was just sharing around.
Yeah, at that point, you've just got to be cool with it. Yeah. If that's the life you're living.
Yeah. Wow. If you're in the lifestyle.
You can't be like, let's have a threesome and then get upset that she's fucking around with this chick on the side.
Oh, is that how it started?
His wife at the time, this other chick, they were all fooling around, and then she's just decided to fucking do it without him, and then he's getting his knickers in a twist. It's like, well, don't open the door, brother.
Yeah.
if you wanted her for yourself, like, that's the rules.
Yeah. I remember that guy, because the thing was, he was, like, centre of attention for everyone else that was doing, like, you know, was it Broden was up there, and he was... That was so funny. The guy was giving him, he said, so what happened? And the guy's giving him this long-winded thing. And he said, I've only got 4 minutes up here. Fucking hurry the story along. And it's like, and then it went from like a 5-minute thing into a 2-sentence thing. Yeah. He's like, right, brilliant, right. Yeah. And
I was like, did he say something like, I'm sorry your wife left you, like became a dyke or something? Like, he definitely dropped dyke. Yeah. He's certain. I was like, fuck, bro.
Everyone was. It was, that was.
He wasn't
was
talking about dams in Holland either, guys. Yeah. It was definitely.
He was.
It was funny though. Everyone was laughing.
Oh, yeah. The guy was laughing too. He loved it. He was
that dude should be a comedian. I was the way he was talking and stuff like that. I'm like, you would be a perfect comedian. He wouldn't be very good at the start because he can't tell a fucking story under 2 minutes. But
I like the way you handled the guy that started asking questions in the middle of one of the guy's sets.
Heckling.
Yeah, and the heckler, and you just got up and you were like, hey, mate, shut up. And I was like, the whole room was like,
Terry.
Well said, big.
Fucking Terry.
Well said, big man, you know. Yeah. Like, you know?
Yeah, Terry's a fucking pain in the ass.
Yeah, he was like, say something funny to how Brian. Old? It's like, that's fucking impossible, dude. Like, you've seen his set, like.
Many times.
Isn't fucking changing.
Yeah, he comes in a lot to watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've talked to him and he's just like, you know, back in my day, comedians, they never used to swear and they didn't talk about sex or anything like that. I'm like, well, it's not your time, brother. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what to tell you. Build a fucking time machine if that's what you want.
I've got a question I'd like to ask you guys. So basically, one of the best things that came out of that Cheeky Dog thing was you were, I was telling you a funny story that happened to me like a couple of years ago when I was in the bush.
The llama.
Yeah, involving that frickin' alpaca.
We want to tell that story.
Right, okay. So basically, what I liked about it was when you're trying to tell a story and you're trying to work it out, because like I tried writing that thing out and it just basically came out as animal cruelty.
So like, tell the story, Dave.
Okay. Oh, let's, okay. All right. All right.
We're at that part where we're going to work out bits.
Like, yeah. Tell the story.
We'll see if we can make this work.
So this is a story. And basically what happened was during COVID, I was like, right, I am not. I knew what. It was like my timing was impeccable. I left the city shortly, but I could see what was probably going to be happening. But I was going to go anyway. But I just left shortly before the lockdowns. We're talking days before the lockdowns happened. I left the city. Very fortunate. Yeah. But I was like, right. I was like, this is probably going to happen. I could see it coming. Anyway. So I arrive on this goat farm.
Yeah.
And there's this llama there. Now,
what's the llama's name?
An alpaca, sorry. Didymus.
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 Didymus the llama.
Didymus. He was an alpaca.
They have them to what? Protect the sheep,
but the thing is, generally they're in packs. This was like a lone alpaca. Unfortunately, it wasn't just a lone alpaca. This was a lone berserk autistic alpaca.
Yeah,
and it was like, and basically, what would happen is that he'd attack anything he felt was a threat. So if you were above 5'5", so basically Peter Dinklage, he'd be fine with like waddling around.
Yeah, me
you
know, too. But I'd
you
be
know,
fine.
But you'd be fine, Midge. He'd be best mates with you.
Yeah.
I know the farmer bought a pig. What do you
Oh, we had a pig too. Oh my God, there's some stories there. But anyway, that's another time. Another time. Yeah. Well, anyway, yeah. The pig was freaking awesome. But anyway, so this freaking alpaca was there. And it's like I always say about the alpaca, if you saw like an anime of an alpaca running or in moving around, you'd just be like, fire the man that drew that. Yeah. It doesn't look like it should be functioning. So there's
it's like a giraffe fucked a sheep.
Yeah. Well said. You're obviously, you know, well versed in genetics, in animals. Yeah.
His ex-girlfriend's autistic.
Right, okay. So basically, I met this thing, and when you see them, they freaked me out. It looks like it's Jekyll and Hyde, because the thing is, he looks normally like a kind of weird freaking teddy bear. Looks like a big, long-necked Winnie the Pooh with big ears. And then the thing is, when he's pissed off, his ears went back, and his face changed from like, oh, that's weird, to, oh, God, he's going to attack me. Yeah. And he'd spit at you, and that was it. Be like, puh, and he'd just spit at you, and he's like, God damn it. And he'd aim for your face, too.
Yeah.
And basically, he'd attack you, and what he would do is he'd try and, like, jump up on top of you and force you over and trample you and, like, you know, dry hump you on the ground, I imagine. That's what he's trying to do. Yeah. Like, you know, sexual assault's a big thing in the bush. I don't know whether you know, but I've never come across it where an animal is actually trying to sexually assault humans.
Yeah.
You know?
No, it's a thing in Australia. Our koalas do it, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, koalas aren't anywhere near as big as this bloody animal. This
but
thing.
They rape just as much. Right, that's okay, important to remember.
Right, it's important to remember. Well, the thing was, I did actually look into trying to have this guy, this alpaca, charged with sexual assault, but unfortunately, it couldn't be covered. You know, the cops weren't too enthusiastic about it. So anyway,
did they at least take a rape kit from you.
Well, if only. Anyway. But anyway, so this guy, he keeps on attacking me.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, after I've been like pretty much sexually assaulted for like, you know, the 15th or 16th time, I figured, right, you know, it's starting to lose its appeal
it's
now.
It's time to fight back.
You know,
back.
It's time to fight back. Yeah. So that is how I got into a fist fight with an alpaca. and basically, like, and the thing is, you know, so anyway, I used to swing for him. I really went for him. And it was like, you know, and I remember I dropped him with a hook once and he just went down in a heap. And I was like, right.
Well,
right, that's it. I was like, right, there we go. That's
did he stop after that?
That's it. No, he kept. No, and that was
it's not like a high school bully.
And that was no, this wasn't like a high school.
Just punch him as hard as you can, son, and he'll never bother you again.
No, well, that was it. You see, that was the annoying thing about it was basically it was like. I had to fight him every day. He kept coming back. And I was just like, and it got to the point where I was having to do conditioning for the fights because unfortunately, like, he had this, like, really long neck and he actually started developing evasive head movement. It was like,
he's learning to duck and weave
in the night. It was like fighting, it was like fighting a llama version of Mike Tyson. If you can imagine the head just this relentlessly bobbing and weaving target. And it was like, and I'd be like throwing combinations and he'd just like start moving his head and I'm like, God damn it. And I remember there was one time he slipped my hook, came up from underneath it and spat right in my face. And I was just like, I was like, I'm being outboxed with a creature with no hands or arms. How is this possible? And the worst thing was after he spat in my face, he launched himself at me, knocked me over. And I was like, this has happened again. So anyway, I was like, right, I need to make some tactical.
Itticus is now, what's the score now? Itticus is up at least one. Dropped him once. Itticus
I dropped him a bunch of times, but then he started getting better at avoiding the punches. Yeah. And it was just like, so anyway, so he's like, we're on this. I'm like, right, I've got to make a tactical adjustment here because, like I said, I'm being outboxed by a creature with no hands.
Yeah.
This is not on. So anyway, I'm like, right, okay, I'm going to start, like, kicking him in the head. Like, I'm going to start dropping him with head kicks. So anyway.
Dave's trained in Thailand.
So I'm just going to kill this fucking alpaca.
So anyway, and the thing is, the head kicks worked.
Yeah,
The head kicks worked. Like, the thing is, because the range is slightly different, he couldn't get out of the way as easily, and I'd always aim just below the head, so I'd catch him right on the neck. And I always say this, like, you know, he used to go down on the floor like you know when Peter Griffin gets knocked out in Family Guy and his arms, like, twisted under him and he's, like, in a heap on the floor? That was how Didsy would hit the floor. And I'd be like, I remember the first time, I was like, oh, God, I was like, right, well, he's dead. And he shook his head and he got up. And in fairness, he'd be respectful for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then he'd forget and he'd go for me again later
on. That's how concussions work.
Yeah. Anyway. And the problem then was I was like, right. I was like, the problem is then the head kits were working too well. I'm like, I mean, I'm fine with him getting CTE, but I'm like, man, I'm going to kill him.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to kill him. So I'm like, right, okay, I'm going to have to start choking him. So, you know, it was like, so basically it was like, and it was basically like a neck drag, and I'd get behind and I'd choke him. Anyway, I started putting him out with chokes, but then he started learning. And what he started doing was as soon as I latched onto his neck,
he'd fight the hands.
No. He'd start running. He'd try and run me headfirst into a tree. That's what he started doing. He started running me headfirst into trees. And the thing is, then there's this other time where he ran me headfirst into a tree, and he just like, and I remember he like knocked me off the tree and I went flying. He really caught me just right. And I remember I was like, ah, and I'm like, just like, I was like at the bottom of this tree, and then he's like above me, and I'm like, oh shit, now he's going to trample me. And anyway, and for some reason he didn't, but anyway, so then I was like, right, I'm going to have to adjust this. So when he was charging, I'd adjust his path so he'd slam into the tree head first. And sometimes the impact of that would knock him out. And I was like, what? This is the craziest story ever. Like, what the hell is happening here? So that was going on for a while. And it was like, you know, and basically the scores were evening up considerably by this time. Yeah. Like, I was really starting to get the better. I was turning this franchise around.
Yeah.
And basically, what happened then was there was an incident where some friends of my mate had come to the property, and they were just on the property, and a baby goat had just been born. And, you know, we loved all the goats on the property.
Yeah.
Wonderful creatures. I love goats.
You never once had to kick a goat.
No. The goats were great. If you're good to goats, they're lovely creatures. If they like you, they'll do anything to please you. They're lovely. I love goats.
Anything?
They're great. Well, you know, they won't clean up the house for you. I'll give you that. They won't do that for you. But
you're not oil wrestling.
No, sadly not. Well, no. Have you ever tried to headbutt a goat? They've got a hard head, man. You know. Yeah. Anyway, that's another story. But anyway, so my mate had said to me, I want you, you know, I'm going to introduce myself to this new goat with the, because when the goats are just born, the baby goats, they can't move around very much. And it's a great time to introduce yourself and to just be, you know, like, hey, we're okay. You know, you can, you know, I don't, you know, you can just be, get to know them very easily in the first few days before they become skittish. So anyway, and because they were these friends there, he said, right, I need to make sure, because Didymus was really protective of the other goats, of the goats. That was one thing. He would protect them. So it was like, if he saw someone coming up to a baby goat and that, he'd be very, and because the friends were there, my mate was like, don't, like, you've got to get Didymus away from the goats and the family. And because I didn't know how to actually deal with him very well at that point, it was just literally either knock him out or ignore him. I found out later how to deal with him better. You just like wave a big sheet at him, you know, so it makes you look much bigger, and he'd freak out and run off. So what happened in this particular case was, because not...
It was like, I've got a shoot in my car, actually.
Do I wear the hat? How long did your mate let you fight the outback before he told you that?
It went on for quite a while.
He's like, oh yeah, I forgot to mention.
it was that really annoyed me. But anyway, I never thought about it like that, actually. But yeah, actually, that's it carried on for a while. So anyway, and this is where the crazy bit happens. So basically, he says to me, you can't hit him.
Yeah.
But you gotta like lead him away from the goat while we're introducing himself. And the thing is I didn't know how to scare him away. So basically I was like, right, I'm gonna grab hold of him and just like, you know, because he had these little small little harness around his head that we never used. And I was like, right, I'm just gonna like grab him and just lead him away gently with some grain. Because that normally calmed him down. Oh, big fucking mistake.
Yeah.
Basically he went for me and attacked me. And it's like, and I've said I'm not gonna knock him out. And basically it's me trying to run away from this alpaca and then start to attack him again and bring him to ground and just try and keep him away from the goats. And the friends are watching aghast as these two idiots are flailing away at each other, me trying to bring this alpaca to ground, and then him getting on top of me and me shouting at him. And it's like, and all the time my mate in the background's going, and this is where we introduce ourselves to the lady. Ah, you bastard, you know, like in the background. And it goes off, and it's like, and then it was like, and then right at the end I was like, ah, that's enough, and just like dropped him with a head kick, and he's in the corner, and it's like, and he's like, and we're about 100 meters away from him down the hill by this point, and all I can see is the family, these friends looking with like open mouth dismay at what's actually happened. Yeah. Like, what the hell is going on here? And I'm just like walking away, just like dusting myself off. Yeah. Like, well, that's done then. And
yeah.
Anyway, so that was the bit. Like, I mean, there's a few other stories that happened as well with regards to that bloody alpaca, but that was the, Jesus. Anyway, and in the end,
you ate him.
We ate him.
Yeah.
Is that how it ended? Yeah. Fucking hell.
Yeah, in the,
alpaca
in the end, like, victory, motherfucker, like, victory.
He was tender. Been the fuck out of him for 6 months. Yeah, where was this?
This was up north. Like,
so, you know.
When you're up in Lismore?
No. Not that far north, like, you know, just further
right,
up north.
Right.
So you saw the end of the world coming, and you're like, fuck it, I'm going bush.
Pretty much, yeah, pretty much.
You went and survived. Yeah. This is why he wears toe shoes, Ethan, because he lived in the bush. Not
yeah, you might have to run from an alpaca.
Because you lived in the bush and you were barefoot the entire time.
Yeah.
So you just got used to walking around not in shoes.
I can't wear shoes anymore. I hate, it feels like I've got lumps of wood under my feet.
Yeah,
I swear to God, I hate wearing shoes. I hate driving with shoes. I don't know how people do it, and it's like I've just got these I wear toe shoes everywhere, and you know, occasionally I cop a mammoth amount of shit from people.
Not occasionally. Every time you walk in the door,
you're wearing them to comedy. We're saying something.
And you do. It's this fucking clown. It's like, oh, Dave, is that why you use them, so that you can count to 20 when you're doing your when you're doing your long division? You're like 1, 2, 3. Use your toes as well. It's like, yeah, it's yeah, exactly, and it's yeah, but that's why I wear them. And yeah, it's really funny because one of the guys, he's I forget his name now, he's always here, he was the MC the other night, but anyway, and he just was like walked and he stopped and he's like, what the fuck are those
Maddie.
Things yeah, and yeah. He was like, what are those things? And he's like, he said, I know who you are, I've known you for ages. He said, what the hell? He said, I've never noticed. And I'm like, really? Anyway, and then I copped it from him.
Dave walks in the other night, he's got this big, it was cold, he's got this big jacket on. I'm like, what, did you fucking just come from the Arctic, cunt? Like, what the hell? He's like, oh, I'm warm. He just finished training. So all of a sudden, like, he's got, like, the post-training sweats on. I'm like, did you just spring here from the Arctic, cunt?
I've been training. Yeah, yeah.
I said it just like that. You know, I've been training, old boy. I did look like I'd just sprinted from the out. Because literally, I jumped off the mat. So I was like, oh, God, I don't know the lineup. I don't know whether I'm on turn.
So then you got up. He's done a set. And then Bobby fucking rinsed you.
Yeah, no, he did.
Oh, man. It was Bobby off the fly. If he's got someone to talk about and make fun of, he's one of the funniest people on the planet.
Like, yeah, dude.
He's brilliant, isn't
he?
Yeah, if he's got someone to roast, like that time he roasted Prateek at the Black Butt.
Dude.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Prateek he was a comedian. He was like the Bobby before Bobby became Bobby. He was like a real short, skinny, crazy, like, thin Indian dude,
right.
Very like, and he had this set and it did not go well. Bobby's got up, he's like, you're the reason why everyone thinks Indians are rapists and shit. Like, and then he turns to all the comedians, he goes, I can say that because I'm Indian. You just can't say that. And everyone went, fair point, Bobby. Because everyone just agrees with whatever Bobby says if he says it.
No, but he went after me. He went. It was. I haven't laughed that much in a long time because he'd go into some material and he'd do his little thing about I was going to be a doctor or something like that.
Yeah.
And then you can tell his train of thoughts like going dun dun dun, and he's like, right, well, I'm running out of stuff to say, so let's go back to Dave then, shall we? It was like ah. Fuck, round two.
Yeah, like. He came back like three times. Yeah.
And every time he'd go, no, but he's a great guy. Great guy. And then it'd be like, you know, but he's on the sexual offenders list. You know, he's like, you know, he's you know, I mean, look at the guy, you know. He's like, Jesus Christ. He was very funny. Like, that was great.
Yeah, he's a fucking killer, old Bobby. He was, I've been trying to pin him down for a podcast for a little while, so we'll probably have to get him next fortnight. You got any bits you're working on, Ethan?
Yeah, but we're already at fucking an hour and 18, so
shit.
Fuck it.
All right. Yeah, we've done long enough.
Yeah.
Let's get the fuck out of here. Please come to our show, 6th of August, 7 p.m, No Holds Barred. If you listen to this podcast and you just want to come along, hit me up on Instagram and I'll get you put on the list.
So it's Sunday the 6th of August.
Okay. And we're also doing the Bradbury Hotel on
Bradford.
Bradford on the Hotel, 4th of August. And check us out most weeks, Newcastle Comedy Club. Open mic here Tuesday is fucking going off. So if you actually want to, I'm assuming only comedians listen to this podcast. If you're a comedian,
we'll have some jiu-jitsu guys. We'll have some jiu-jitsu guys. Some of my friends will be listening to this.
Oh,
so they'll hopefully be a bunch of people like listening with delight about stories about me bombing.
That llama story is fucking hilarious, dude. Yeah. You can't turn that into a funny bit.
Well, but the thing was that, believe it or not, sorry, this, I know you want to finish, but like, the reason that I was so pleased was because you actually, Mitch, you were telling me how to turn that into. You said you've got to really just make sure everyone is on board with the fact that this alpaca, he had it coming. That was the only way to deal with him. And it was it was like either that or you were going to end up pregnant from an alpaca. You know,
Along those lines. Yeah, you've got to anthropomorphize you've got to get it so that people hate that fucking alpaca. And then they're fine with your head kicking an animal.
I should basically add that, you know, that none of that stuff with the alpaca actually happened in the slightest.
No, you're the RSPCA.
This was purely me, joking around and chimping. It was a dream. It was a dream. Podcast. It was a dream. Yeah, it was a dream. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't want to get another one of our guests gay bashed.
All the alpacas are going to turn up to the next day tomorrow.
Yeah, the alpacas union's going to come in.
Yeah. Right, thanks for coming on the pod.
Cheers, guys.
Man. You're a legend. It was a good one.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Love yous. Bye.
Bye. Mwah.